Sharpshooters, episode 66, May 2nd, 2006. Welcome, everybody, to the Sharpshooter Wrestling Podcast. I'm Eric.
And I'm Marcus McGrath.
And together we form, ultimately, Voltron. Well, actually, no, we formed
We tried to become Voltron, and we failed. And
then we tried the Power Rangers, then the VR Troopers.
Go down to this list of champ shows.
The Masked Rider, the Beetleburgs. I mean, it's so many failed attempts.
Most of our listeners probably never even heard of this stuff.
It doesn't matter.
You gotta be ashamed of yourself history. And plundering. This is not history.
And this is history. This is like American history cartoons.
So what do we do now to this part? Well, I forget.
Before we do now, we need to go into our normal intro, but my mouse isn't working at the time, so I can't even click over. Okay, there we go. We're back, people. All right.
We never left.
So once again.
We never left.
For once again, I'm Eric, like I said before.
What? I'm not saying it again.
You're not gonna say it again?
I said it once. They get one per show.
All right.
I don't get paid for this.
Before we even start the show, let's start off with a little bit of information, a little bit of background information about the show. Our website is thesharpshooters.blogspot.com.
Umaga.
And Marcus, you know what? As the great Khali, can you say something? As the great Khali, tell him our email address.
Well, the email address is intelligent.
And because I went to the jungles, I have learned how to translate that. That is TheSharpshooters@gmail.com. Also, if you have found ways to go after Christian Belt for yourself, he is taking applications to go get his belt back. But anyway, besides that, you can leave a voicemail for us via Skype with the username TheSharpshooters.
Hold on, we gotta give out. Did you say sharpshooters@gmail.com, right?
Yeah.
DA?
Yeah. Okay. Or you can also leave a voicemail via the number 310-928-6889.
Wow. And this is a bi-weekly podcast, by the way. We do it twice a week.
Yes,
okay. We're feeling a little shabby today. This sounds like a lot of ring rust, and we didn't do this in 2 days.
We've been pretty much trying to experiment with the mic since episode 65.
Probably 60.
I don't know.
It's been some time.
We probably think we're very close to working it out. We almost think it. I think a trouble with our thing was with our digital converter. It was converting it very staticky. So, hopefully, within the next couple of weeks, we'll have everything working out just fine.
And we apologize.
So, enough for us with this rambling and us apologizing. Let's get into the news. Well, that's the news for you guys, because there was no news. So
there was sharpshooter news.
What's the sharpshooter news?
This the whole audio thing. That was our news story.
Oh, the audio thing. So, we don't know if we're coming in too loud or if it's staticky. We really don't
know. We didn't know after we listened to it ourselves.
But we finally stopped trying to go through a converter, and we went straight into the line in. And it looks like we're getting the steady signal. And when we was doing tests, it was sounding pretty good.
So pretty much, if you're an audio technician out there and you listen to our show, send in some advice.
It's not going to help because we're not going to. Marcus, you already told me in the car that you're a visual person.
Yes.
You need to see things.
God, I can read.
God did. Damn, Lakers are already losing. So anyway, let's get into the show, Marcus. So, because we have no news, me and Marcus did do something. We were able to see Backlash. Yes, I know me and Marcus both touted how we would never watch Backlash, but we did. Backlash, believe it or not,
it's a filler.
It was not as bad as the card read. There were decent quality matches.
No, it's not as bad as I heard many reviews on the internet.
Yeah,
it wasn't the best pay-per-view. Come on.
No.
But it was Backlash.
It was a sufficeable pay-per-view. Now, if this was WrestleMania, Royal Rumble, Survivor Series, or SummerSlam, then you can be upset. But once again, this was Backlash.
You don't supposed to expect anything from Backlash.
So the very first match of the night at Backlash was actually Carlito versus Chris Masters. This was a very good opening match. Both of these guys did a lot of moves. It was nice when I saw Carlito escape out the Master Lock. And it was also a nice touch when you saw Carlito put the Master Lock on Chris Masters.
Yeah, that was nice. And then he failed and he tried to explain, I'm sorry and stuff. But Carlito did a lot of moves that he ain't really done before. Springboard with the elbow.
Back elbow.
Moonsault. He's showing his athletic ability.
And Chris Masters was pretty much showing his power throughout the match.
I guess they showed their strengths. There was a few flaws in the match in which Chris Masters didn't kick up at one time.
And when Carlito missed the moonsault where it just barely hit Chris Masters.
Yeah, but you know.
But overall it was enjoyable.
It's two young guys and they can only grow.
And even though Carlito is the face, he still cheated to win.
He used his patented maneuver, the middle rope.
Yeah, so I thought this was a good match.
I thought it was serviceable.
I think,
and hopefully it'll continue the feud.
I think the problem with this feud is it's not enough behind it, and then also it took too long to develop. No, it's been years that Carlito has been screwing over poor Christopher Matthews.
They should have done a feud right after New Year's Revolution.
It should have happened then.
Instead of teaming them up to face Big Show and Kane for the titles, knowing they probably wouldn't win.
Now, what bothered me, I felt that the next match should have actually been the opening match. It was the thumb-sucking Umaga versus Ric Flair.
No, you can't open the night with this match. You want to know why?
Because it made people turn the channel?
Yes, it was short. People be demanding their money back.
Guess what, Marcus? No one turns the channel because it's they paid $35.
I know, but you know, it's short. It's too short. But you know ain't going to get the crowd riled up with these two.
But this match wasn't as bad as it could have been.
It was.
I mean, when
it was a squash match.
Yeah, but when your finishing move is a thumb, it's still. And then also, Armando
Alejandro Estrada.
He annoys me.
That's what his point is.
He's supposed to annoy me?
Yes. So he got those big ass cigars.
Umaga, he does his hair, but he softens up Flair throughout this whole match. Didn't Flair get busted open?
No.
No, he didn't get busted
open. He may have been bleeding somewhere, though.
Did you know they got in trouble for bleeding, though?
Yeah.
In Kentucky
lost.
The rules of bleeding or something? I don't know.
Come on, let him bleed.
But Umaga won, and he won with a thumb to the throat, which was kind of shocking because I expected them to win. You know, like cheating or something, but it didn't happen that way.
He just whooped Ric Flair up, and instead of thumbs to his throat, go back to the stupid thumb submission to the neck.
I'll put it this way. I think if you, besides Umaga's stupid finisher maneuver, he could be a serviceable, you know, role player wrestler, kind of like on SmackDown. It's just that he really needs to drop the damn thumb.
He didn't drop the Umaga gimmick, period.
Why?
Just go as Jamal.
You can't go as Jamal because he's Umaga now.
You don't need to be Umaga.
This the next match is.
I think he'll get more credit for being himself instead of Umaga.
Are we moving on to the next match?
Let's go.
The next match was Trish Stratus versus Mickie James.
This is a tragic match.
Well, this is a tragic match, though, Marcus. You don't really see the tragedy until you watch Raw and they show the close replay. Because on the pay-per-view, you can't really see her.
No, they didn't get the good angle.
They didn't get the good angle. Seeing the shoulder pop out. But you see her thing. What I was impressed with, though, is that she didn't scream. It was like, ow! And then, you know, she worked through it.
No, she was in pain.
I just think with this match, the stupidest thing ever was the flawed ending. She choked her out with her armband, and the ref called for
a disqualification. No, 5-second choke. That's a DQ. You got to release that four, remember? That's a DQ. You have to end it some way.
When's the last time you have seen a 5-second choke?
Well, Mickey won it. They tried to... JR and King, by the way, Jim Ross did call tonight.
But you guys are probably aware of that because you saw Raw.
Yes, and what was I? Oh, and they covered up and said Mickey won it this way. She knew she probably couldn't beat Trish, so she had to do it the only way she could get herself DQ'd, which makes sense somewhat. And this match looked like it was shaped up to be pretty much.
I don't think that the match was supposed to end the way that it did. I think they improvised because of the injury.
I think they actually had to give more time to Sheldon RVD, which was the next match.
I don't think so. I think
because that was 19. No, that was like 20 minutes, 25 minutes.
Well, they probably told them to do some more stuff because it was a point where it was a lot of stalling going on in their match between Sheldon and RVD. Like, you know, where it seemed like they were stretching the time.
A lot of head chin locks and stuff for no like reason. And let's get into that match.
Well, Mickey retained the title because she was disqualified. Now it's time for Shelton Benjamin versus RVD. It was kind of funny that Jerry Lawler was bringing up the references of Where Was Mama and all that good stuff.
And during the night, you got Where Is Mama Chats and Mama's Boy.
But can you explain to me why the referee had to take off Shelton's shades?
Because those shades are illegal. RVD can't poke them. I don't know. He shouldn't have the damn shades in the first place.
So, of course, as you already know...
He shouldn't wear a Hawaiian in a shade shirt.
As you already know, this match is for... Money in the Bank versus Intercontinental Championship, winner takes all.
Yep.
Excellent match. Like, they was touting the whole night. This was the two most athletic wrestlers in WWE at the time.
Yeah, and if this was a match, This seems like it actually seemed like a TNA X Division match, actually.
Can I ask you a question, Marcus? When ECW, slow down. When ECW comes back, do you think it's a possibility that they would send Shelton down there, since ECW has never really been known much for their talking, but more of what they did in the ring?
Yeah, a lot of good talkers. What are you talking about?
But they still wasn't known for the talk. It was more about what they did.
They
were known
for personality.
For personality.
I give them good promo credit. They had good promos.
There's only a few people that can do good promos. Not everybody can. You never saw Steve Corino cutting promos and stuff. Or Mike Awesome cutting promos. You didn't see that.
Well, Mike Awesome had... Who did he have as manager again?
Bill Alfonso.
He had the judge.
The judge?
The judge cut his promo.
Oh, whatever.
Can't remember his name.
Anyway, RVD won his match, so now he's an Intercontinental Champion. And Mr. Money in the Bank.
Ah, I feel bad for Shelton.
I have a problem with this because now it seems like they might end up burying the title again.
No, I don't think they're going to bury it. I think they could go with this.
Marcus, the title wasn't even mentioned on the Raw.
Yes, it was.
It was?
Yeah, RVD was carrying around saying he's the new Intercontinental Champion all of the time. Just they had that six-man tag out of left field. But anyway, I feel what they could do with this is, you know, give somebody a title run. Give somebody a chance to go to RVD. Have Carlito and RVD, since they have heat, go at it. Or you can set up a Fatal 4-way/Triple Threat situation in which involves Benjamin, Carlito, Haas, and Masters.
Well, I think...
Am I missing somebody?
If he's challenging...
Oh, and RVD, that's too many.
If he's challenging for this World Heavyweight title, he has to lose the belt eventually. I mean, he can't go into the ECW pay-per-view if that's where he's really going to. And have all the titles.
Or you can have him get screwed by like the Spear Squad. That's what you do when you have no way to do with belts. You give it to the Spear Squad.
But you know, just by John Cena retaining... Oh, hold on. I'm not jumping the gun. All right, let's move on to the next match.
Excellent match.
So, RVD won. Kane versus Big Show. Kane won. Enough said.
Hold on. Stupid. You got to throw this in. Stupid. I mean, the red light and we're hearing Kane voices and the hoopla of the event and... Big Show just hit Kane with a chair. The referee don't DQ the Big Show or announce who's the winner or whatnot. It just happens.
It was abyss rules, man. Abyss rules.
But Big Show just walked away upset. Kane walked set up smiling and like the voices are good. And Jim Ross couldn't even explain it.
Do you have enough?
I had enough because there was actually no winner.
All right. So it's Vincent Shane versus Shawn Michaels and God. First of all, this match was ridiculous for the simple reason of Mr. McMahon talking to a spotlight representing God.
The entrance was cool, man. He could have had a better entrance than that. He should have had pyro.
Marcus, this is so disrespectful to so many religions out there. It's beyond
comparison. But also, during the night, Vince had these skits and stuff going on. He had one good skit when he was walking on water.
I think that was on Raw, Marcus.
No! That was on Backlash.
No, I think that was
No, that was Backlash.
I'm pretty sure that was on Raw.
I'm 100% sure it's on Backlash.
When we get into notes, we'll see.
Okay, but it's 100% on Backlash.
I'm pretty sure it was on Raw.
Because remember, Shane was drinking his water like, come on, Pops, we got to go do the match.
I'm telling you, Marcus.
Because remember, Shane wasn't even on what you call Raw.
Well, we see.
Vince was on there.
Anyway,
come on.
Vince and Shane won via help from the Spirit Squad members. This is where Shawn set up both. Well, first of all, Shawn did a crossbody on Vince McMahon off the side of the stage and banged Shane's head into the backlash set, which was kind of nice.
Shawn Michaels was very athletic. He also did a crossbody on Vince on the other side and then did a flipping senton on Shane on the other side in the beginning of the match.
He was working on his old Shawn Michaels. Of course, you got some suck it signs. Then you had where he set him up on the tables. He pulled out the big ladder. He climbed it. You didn't see the Spirit Squad come, but you just see Shawn Michaels jump off the ladder to the outside of the ring on top of the Spirit Squad. Eventually, Spirit Squad got control. They did their, I guess, high spirit through a table on Shawn, put Vince and Shane on top of Shawn. Vince and Shane wins the match.
And let me point out the key storyline to this, which is going to start the new feud, Shawn versus God, when God had the nerve to walk out on Shawn in the middle of the match. That was scary. That was funny, though. It just seemed like that was going to come.
Like Shawn said on the night, that this is, let's say what it is, Vince, this is a handicap match. God is
out
of luck. No.
This is what he gets for walking down the bar he did 80 years
but you
ago.
Know what they could have did, though? When Vince was on the mic talking about how God is not here, where you going, God? I was waiting for Shawn Michaels to pop up. You know, pop up and start fighting.
Yeah.
Just insinuate that. I don't know. I just felt that It was there. Now, this next part...
Hopefully, it's the end of the feud.
Hopefully.
Vince won. He got his victory over God. He got victory over Shawn. Hopefully, this is over.
The next part about this is... Marcus can go into it because I didn't watch it.
I didn't watch it either.
Oh, is Eugene and Max Stryker? They have a feud.
He stuck a booger in his mouth and that's the end
of
it.
Something like that. I don't know. I don't care.
Because Eugene's from Kentucky. And let's talk about Kentucky. And he's stupid. And Kentucky's a stupid... And then Matt Stryker got a booger in his mouth.
Now it's time for the main event. Triple H, John Cena, and Edge. Surprisingly a good match. Especially Edge had a great game plan that he decided he was going to let these two guys fight each other in the ring while he just waited out and waited it.
But stupidly, why would he get on the apron and instigate this battle?
Yeah, because when Triple H and John Cena were throwing punches and people was like, boo, yes, yay. Boo, yay, like that. And eventually, they looked at him and they started double teaming him. A nice move in here that I like is when Edge DDT Triple H on the table, mm-hmm. but the table didn't break.
The Spanish announcer. Now, they use reinforcements. They have learned.
No, I think the table was supposed to break, but it just didn't.
Oh, well.
And leaving a big blood stain, because Triple H was bloody, and if they broke some Kentucky guidelines.
I don't remember why he was bloody.
Me neither. Well, anyway.
I can't remember. Oh, Cena punches are so strong.
Well, what I don't get, though, I need to watch the match again. But if you remember on Raw, they had all these bruises. Could the blows... I don't recall Edge getting hit with
serious
the sledgehammer.
Serious makeup. He got hit with the sledgehammer.
I don't know. It could have been, like you said, serious makeup.
Yeah, you didn't need the serious makeup, because what did that be? I like the spots of the double FU. I was actually looking forward to seeing it.
And John
FU.
Cena has added a move. Number 9, he did a splash off the top rope.
He done this already, so you can't... And... Good Kevin work to edit his splash, because most of his splash looked flawed. Because last time he did, I think it was
looked like they didn't show Edge get into position.
Yeah.
It just looked like he just landed on him.
Yeah, but...
He would never be Rob Van Dam or Eddie Guerrero.
No, he would not be the next Rey Mysterio or AJ Styles. He would be John Cena.
You cannot just say AJ Styles. You have to say the phenomenal AJ Styles.
Oh, well.
Anyway.
Gosh, puppies.
Has Christian found his title yet?
Enough with that! Anyway... There were some nice spots, taking stuff kind of like TNA Arsenal, in which multiple moves at one time. Like, John Cena had Edge for the FU up there, but Triple H put them both in the electric chair, which put Edge in a Samoa drop.
Overall, I would give this pay-per-view actually about a B-C+.
I give it a C due to... I think it could have got a B for me if they had Mickey Trish thing and they left Kane and Big Show off. Isn't that gonna work?
Well, it's a lot of things.
And if John Cena did win,
I knew John Cena was winning. You guys remember it was two people that called that, Floyd and myself.
Yeah, but who's he gonna fight against now after Backlash? Where does he go from here? He can't continue to fight Eddie Triple H. How many more matches of that we gotta see? I think personally, you push Umaga in that slot right now.
It's gonna be interesting because I think it's a lot of things that they have to establish and. They really need to establish it quick, considering what ECW's pay-per-view coming up. Because
they have a lot of ideas, it seems like,
and I really
right
think
that
they're going,
have a lot of potential.
I really think they're going to RVD JBL. I think that's what's going to happen. Because JBL
but
has
JBL
the heat.
But JBL can't win the title over Ray that fast?
Why not? He's a transitional champion.
Although Ray has never beat Kurt Angle.
But Kurt Angle's out.
Yeah.
So it's...
But how did we get on that when we're talking about...
Because you said... The championships.
But who is going for the title right now?
Well, right now, if it has the, as it stated, RVD is going to be challenging John Cena. I hate to say, that's not going to put something in the seats for me.
Yes, it is. At ECW rules, John Cena can actually be in a hardcore match in which his moves don't matter.
But
if you think about it.
Because
he hasn't really been in anything street match other than the parking lot brawl against Eddie Guerrero.
Okay, now,
it's time for him to do something messy.
Another question for you. When does ECW does RVD stay with ECW or does he go stay with WWE?
Well, the ECW establishment doesn't come into the fall. He's going to probably be in WWE for a while, you know. Then he eventually will lose the title and then probably go to ECW.
I think he's a
WWE. He's a transitional champion.
No, I think he's a WWE. I think he's going to stay in WWE for the simple fact that as they talk about ECW, it is still the minor leagues. You know, it's still the developmental thing. And ECW really does not need RVD.
Well, he is ECW.
He is ECW, but then it's also he could be the WWE champion. I don't
he's
know.
He's the whole epic show.
Well, anyway, that does it for our Backlash report.
You never answered the question. Who's the Cena fight?
Who's the Cena fight?
When
what, next?
Yeah. Who's his next opponent?
Shawn Michaels.
Shawn Michaels, but Shawn Michaels. You're trying to say the guy is over.
Shawn Michaels, Triple H. I think right now the biggest focus is DX.
I think DX and ECW.
I don't know if they're teasing DX for this reason, but the fans seem to be clamoring for DX.
It's going to happen. Only if they mold it right. Well, we better do the Raw report before we go into this.
I still think it might be somewhat watered down because of Shawn's religion, but who knows? So anyway, we're going to take a short break. We'll be back with the Raw report, and then we have one more segment after that, and you guys will be introduced to another good short show. All right, we'll see you guys in a few minutes. Welcome everybody to the Raw Report. Man, what did you ask me?
Why won't they wake up?
Why won't they wake up? Well, because Margaret, it is not time for them to wake up just yet, because this theme song has been through USA, Spike TV, and then USA once again.
It may have been possibly it wasn't the first USA. This one came in, I think this TNN area. It's time to change the Raw theme song, people. But Edge has been through like 20 different theme songs. Christian has been through theme songs.
I can always go with the King of Kings theme song for Raw. I like that
song. No. Because it's not the King of Kings. It's the most miserable show around.
Can we get into what we came in to do?
The meat?
The Raw Report.
Okay.
All right. So how this show opens up is Mr. McMahon and the Spirit Squad. Vince brags about defeating Shawn Michaels and said that he is going to take the night off, and he has announced 5 general managers. That is the Spirit Squad. The Spirit Squad brags about putting Shawn through a table and then says that Kenny will face John Cena for the title. And the Divas will dress as cheerleaders. Pretty much, for the first time in how many weeks, they actually mention the general manager.
Actually, in the middle of the show, they mentioned Eric Bischoff somewhere in here.
Eugene, yes.
Well, anyway, all I got to say is this. The Spirit Squad already amped up their general managership. Not only did they screw up what they were doing by giving Kenny a title shot, they should have gave all 5 of them a title shot at once. Had you seen the Spirit Squad is unstoppable with all 5 at once? Did you see what they do to Shawn Michaels?
Anybody's unstoppable when it's 5 people against 1.
Exactly, and that's how you strip Cena. Give it to the Spirit Squad. As one of my listeners said, gangster squad.
Is this your whole M.O. in life? It's a strip John Cena of the championship.
It's not the strip. It's to remove him down.
All right.
Well, anyway, it's time, man.
Let's get into this.
Is that what Cena's saying?
Mark, shut up. The first match of the night is the Divas cheerleading match. First thing I have to say is I was very disappointed with the cheerleading outfits because it showed nothing.
The thing with the cheerleading match, personally, it's weird that it started off the show.
It's actually when they just announced it. So it was like, how did they
know? No, they had it prepared.
It doesn't matter.
It's Spirit Squad things.
The participants in this Diva cheerleading match is Tori Wilson, Maria, Victoria, and Mickie James. First of all, Maria has new intro music. So does this mean that Maria is going to be wrestling more often?
No, they just promote the Reckless Abandon album.
Ah.
That's all that was about, I think. But I believe Maria is going to get her little wrestling run.
She's not that bad as she was before. First of all, I have to put this.
You're just punching it down.
Almost everybody's better than Ashley.
Yeah, and probably Tori. Well, anyway, let's go through this report.
Okay, Victoria and Mickey attack early in the match because it's a tag team match. Tori lands a drop toe hold into an armbar. Maria whips Tori into Victoria, and then she follows that with a stink face. Maria follows that with a Bronco Buster. Maria is tossed out of the ring by Victoria, but she got caught with a face crusher. Mickey attempted to suplex Maria in the ring, but Trish came out, wore in a sling, tripped Mickey, allowed Maria and Tori to score the victory because Maria pins.
And now, this is where I see they're moving in Maria to be the number one contender for the women's title. 1, she's a good person. 2, she gets the pinfall with Mickey here. And then 3 happens later on today. I'm doing Eliminate.
I'm sorry. You still need to have this belt be interpromotional for the simple reason that you need to have Melina and Jillian and whoever else is on that show.
And Crystal?
Why not?
There's only two divas on that show.
Yes.
That could actually wrestle.
Yes.
And there's only two on Raw that could actually wrestle. But
so you don't want to see Crystal wrestle?
No, I don't mind.
You sir are racist. No, you was almost saying you do mind that. God,
I wasn't.
Oh.
I didn't see anything bad with her last match, but I see the Maria Mickey won't be a good match. But it will serve its purpose as defending the women's title while Trish goes through her dislocated shoulder.
Are we ready to move on to the next thing?
Are we?
Yeah, let's move on.
Let's move on.
The next match is the Spirit Squad. This match gave me so much trouble with my notes because they didn't tell me who the heck each person was, and now they're wearing white beaters.
Yes, there's no more jersey names on the back. This one said Johnny, Mickey, Nikki, Kiki, or Mitch, or Donnie, or Roscoe, and Chicklin and Waffle.
So I could be wrong. But the participants in this match that I thought were Nikki, Johnny, and Mikey.
Now, this is a guess. Mitch wasn't involved in this
We don't think Mitch wasn't involved at all. Mitch is never involved.
I don't know which one is Mitch anymore.
All right, so they were facing the Odd Squad. The Odd Squad is a new form team with Snitsky, Goldust, and Eugene. Pretty much, it's the reincarnation of our worst faction in WWE history. The Oddities.
Yep, they won that top five a long time ago, and we do not need to see the Oddities. Well, look, you need this.
No.
You need these guys.
No, can I say something? Know how this could work? The Odd Squad, they need one simple thing. They're missing one simple thing.
A manager?
They need a manager.
They need a goon?
You gotta have a trainer.
You gotta have a Mitch.
You have to have somebody that controls these guys. I mean, and then also, you really need to establish these guys. First of all, I think if they need to be bad guys. They can't be good guys.
No, they don't be good. Good because the Oddities were good.
No, Marcus.
Actually, they were bad, but then they became good.
Imagine Crazy Eugene, Crazy Goldust, and Crazy Sissy. Crazy Eugene sells me because it's time for Eugene to snap.
I can't see them as going as good guys. I mean, as bad guys. They have to be good guys. And this is also displaying that apparently WWE's taking our advice and probably a lot of advice from the fans. That they need to establish their undercard talent that wrestle on Heat.
Indeed. So how does this match go? Goldust landed multiple arm drags and tagged in Eugene. Vince is shown receiving a drink from Candace backstage. The Spirit Squad works over Eugene for a good minute. Finally, Eugene does apply the rock bottom and tagged in Siski, who flirted with clotheslines until he is knocked out of the ring. Siski caught Mikey with a big boot and tags out. Eugene got caught with the Johnny Go Round kick, and that's how they scored the victory. During WWE Unlimited, Maria came out doing her kiss cam, but she was attacked by Mickey James.
Yes.
So before I get into the next thing, let's talk about the match. It was a serviceable match. It was bad.
It was something that it seemed like it should have been on Heat. But what they should did. They should establish a feud between this Odd Squad and the Spirit Squad.
I mean,
establish some type of beef for the other members of the Spirit Squad who aren't defending the title.
You know how they stop this beef? They act like cheerleaders. You have Snitsky, Goldust, and Eugene dress up like cheerleaders.
Well, Goldust is quick to do it.
They have to be bad guys, but you have to mock the Spirit Squad. And you just have to, they have to reestablish these guys. I don't think losing to the Spirit Squad helped them.
No. But I think they should start a feud with them. I mean, back and forth, you know, they antagonize the Spirit Squad because the Spirit Squad antagonized everybody during the night, but they antagonize with, like, Goldust antics of, I'm Goldust, I'm going to touch you, and Snitsky, I'm going to smell your feet, and harassing them.
And then after this, because that's enough on that match, we are backstage, and Todd Grisham is interviewing Eugene. He wanted to know how did he feel to lose. Then, for some reason, Eugene goes off on rant, tells Lisa I have a job, talking to Eric Bischoff, he can kiss my ass. Reference number two of the former GM and
this is
GM.
Reference number one.
No, because
Vince only said GM. He didn't say Eric Bischoff.
No, but still, when I'm saying reference, I mean mentioning a GM, reminding us that GMs did exist at one point.
What are you talking about? T-Lo, he's doing a hell of a job, but I don't need people discouraging that man of his job.
But this is what happens. Max Stryker comes in, and he attacks Eugene with a dictionary, which kind of... It looked bad when he attacked. It didn't look like it was good shots.
It just looked very fake. Yes. And true wrestling is fake, but it looked very fake. But he deserved to get hit with that dictionary for sticking a booger down somebody's throat. I would have shot him.
Marcus, I would have stuck a booger down Mike Stryker's throat also. I can't stand Mike Stryker.
He's the teacher.
This is Dean Douglas reincarnated without the Dean. All right, so then this is a part that was funny because Marcus got real hyped up with this. He thought this was a new segment, the week in wrestling history. He was like, oh, what's about to happen?
Oh, yes, because numerous weeks now, I have been excited about seeing these moments of wrestling. Previously, the one I praised the most, The Rock and Steve Austin feud with the monster truck and throwing Austin in the river and having the funeral and whatnot. That was a great clip. So, I thought we was going to get something special.
But instead, you know what this does? It goes over what happened at Backlash between Shawn and Vince and Shane.
And now they were pimping Backlash the whole night.
Yeah, they actually, of all the pay-per-views, I think what they were trying to show is that people, everybody said this was a bad pay-per-view. I'm going to prove the Sharpshooters wrong. We're going to show the highlights from this pay-per-view.
No, what they proved is either nobody bought the pay-per-view and they try to make money on replays, or they want somebody to buy the replay just to try to get more money from it.
But do you think they accomplished the goal with showing these highlights?
Hey, it made me want to see Backlash just a little bit. See, Shawn Michaels in a crossbody off the stage, and he jumped on Spear Squad and came hearing voices.
So after they go over the week in history, we are backstage, and Shawn is showing backstage with Charlie Haas and The Big Show. Then they're interrupted by the Spirit Squad, and they said they're going to give Shawn the night off as a wrestler, but he will be a special guest referee in the match between Kane and Rob Conway. Right here, I cringe because now we got to see Conway.
No, I cringe because it was a Kane-Conway match.
Yes.
Who in their right mind wanted to see Kane versus Conway too?
Well, then they added a twist to this. They made Shawn Michaels have to wear a yellow refereeing shirt with the date May 19th all over it.
You know what this reminded me of as soon as he did it? Die Hard with the Vengeance. When Bruce Willis had to wear that sign in Harlem, I hate N-word.
Exactly. It also,
that was funny.
It also reminded me of, too, of the boxers act for the Gold Coast Casino that painted their body with tattoos.
That says May 19th.
Yeah. This damn day hates me. So anyway, it's time for Rob Conway versus Kane.
Should we even say the date?
No, I don't care. What, Kane gonna come? He gonna come through the mic?
He's gonna come and try to pull our eyes out. He sees no evil.
So Shawn, we see no evil. So what happens is, first of all, Rob Conway is wearing the worst outfits ever. It's like, I don't know what the hell.
What happened to the Buff Bagwell look?
I don't know.
Why does he look like, I don't know.
First, he's greased down, he's orange, and he's got like booty cutter type.
Why is he orange now?
I don't know. It concerned me. So anyway,
team him up with Sylvan.
Shawn checks Rob Conway for foreign objects, and then he landed a shot to the nuts. He puts the May 19th t-shirt on Rob Conway, and Kane came out. So I have to say one thing. Shawn has made this match very interesting.
Shawn Michaels went back to his old comic way, Shades of Degeneration X. Shawn Michaels would do this.
So pretty much, Shawn held Conway, prevented him from taking the shirt off, and then rode him out to the ring where Kane saw the shirt and snapped. Kane rammed Conway head in the steel steps into the barricade.
That one looked like hurt.
Mounted Conway from behind, hit him in the back of the head with punches. Shawn then puts Conway back in the ring and pulls a trash can from under the ring that he allows Kane to use on Conway.
He did not allow that. He just picked the trash can up. He had a piece of paper. He had no way to do it. He knew there was a trash can in the ring because there's always a trash can in the ring. He held it up there to show everybody, look, I found the trash can. And then Kane took it. He was like, what?
Kane then chokeslammed Conway. He began to walk out, showing that Kane didn't care too much about the match. All of a sudden, Shawn in old The Generation X fashion grabs a microphone, yells, May 19th.
Now, why would Kane confuse Conway and Shawn Michaels? Only person that sounds like that is Shawn Michaels and Steven Richards.
But you know, maybe Kane ain't been in there long enough to realize that. So anyway, he puts the mic on Conway, Kane comes back down, tombstones Conway, and scores the victory. Wow.
Well, that was entertainment right there.
I thought it was entertaining, pretty much.
And it wasn't an annoying May 19th segment. No. If you think about it, because
I think anytime you see Conway get beat up, it's a good day.
Not always. It's just,
all I gotta say, can we put some pants on Conway?
Yeah, I mean, his whole ass crack was out like half through.
All I have to say, let's reform our resistance. We need more tag teams.
Yeah. You ain't gonna sound pretty. We need more tag teams. Anyway.
Yes! Kobe!
Meanwhile, the electric game is on and we're talking about Raw.
I apologize.
This segment worked, and I believe that May 19th is coming through because actually in the crowd there was actually a May 19th sign.
Yeah.
It's a date that you won't forget now. They have enlarged this. They have spanned it to the point that we do not know. I mean, we do know what happens May 19th.
I don't care.
Over the hands. You ready to move on to the next match?
It's time for Umaga versus a Mystery Man.
Umaga.
I do not know who he fought, but speaking of Mystery Man, if you guys remember in London, Steve Lewontine wrestled, I believe, Umaga. They were so impressed with his beatdown that he took from Umaga, they gave him a developmental contract. Congratulations, Mr. Lewontine.
And Manny got to sit next to a WWE superstar family.
Yeah, so Manny, you're one up on us. All right, back to this match. Estrada introduces Umaga as
it's
a man.
It's Armando Alejandro Estrada.
We do not have to go through his whole name.
And the reason I go with the Vince McMahon at the end of Estrada, I can't roll my tongue.
Anyway, Estrada introduces Umaga as a man who defeated Ric Flair. Estrada ragged on Umaga's opponent, and then he finally came out. Umaga climbed the rope, landed the money shot, then he fought out with a Samoan spike.
How you gonna call it the money shot?
Because it was the money shot.
No, only Val Venus can do the money shot. This is just a splash.
It was the money shot.
Nope, only Val Venus can do the money shot.
It was
sorry.
The money shot. So anyway, that's how that match ended. Enough said. That's enough said.
Like, let's go back to something I said earlier during the beginning of the show. Should Umaga go after Cena right now? Wouldn't it seem like he could say he thrashed Ric Flair in minutes and he'd go after Flair? Although nobody seems to care about Umaga.
No one cares.
I just seems like he could go for the title right now.
It's too bad. And they couldn't make Umaga a fake Samoa Joe.
But look, I know. That's what they should have did. Because he has similar moves with the kicks and stuff, but he don't do that as much. He does the headbutt.
But can't change submission.
But what they could do with Umaga right now, at least give him,
commercial.
They get him somewhat over, and if you think about it, what gets somebody over than attacking John Cena? He's a magnet.
Yeah, but the thing is, no one's going to believe that he deserves to face John Cena for the championship. I know I don't.
Well, he beat Ric Flair. In record time.
Who hasn't beat Ric Flair?
But in record time.
Doesn't matter.
Nobody's beat Ric Flair that fast.
We go backstage, and Vince asks Candace about her chest code, because on Backlash, she came and wore a very nice dress, I might add, and she said she had a chest code.
Yeah, she did.
She said she is better. Yeah. She wants to know, can he help her?
Can we get a gist of this? Vince was a healer, okay?
Yeah.
That was the whole scenario.
So she wanted to know, can he help her with her laryngitis? And then they begin to make out until Triple H interrupted. Vince said that he invited Triple H there to be the special rep. Triple H said, why doesn't he just make it Cena and him for the title? Vince said he shouldn't reward him, but he should punish him. Triple H said that if Kenny wins the title, then Triple H will face him next week with the Spirit Squad banned from ringside. Vince said if he doesn't do what he says, the next title he gets, he might be an old man.
Because he was playing off Vince calling him an old man.
Pretty much.
And look, this makes sense, though. I know this wasn't the best role, but it established storylines and for the future. It's like the NFL draft. We're going to draft this guy. We won't know what happens in about, well, they won't know 3 years. We'll know in like 2 months. But this is what they're doing. They're setting up Triple H finally being annoyed by his feeble old man, Vince McMahon. He is sick of, he's going to get fed up, and eventually, somehow, him and Shawn Michaels are probably going to end up being teamed together, trying to take on the Spirit Squad because Vince is pissed at them both. And then that's how DX somehow reforms.
But the question I see have set for up you, that though, way. How does this leave John Cena in the title? Because it has to be something that happens that somebody has to chase John Cena.
I think it's going to be Umaga.
Yep.
I'm serious. I think Umaga's about to get his quickest run at the title, in which, because, you know.
Estrada?
Yeah.
All right, so now we move to the cutting edge, and the special guest is Mick Foley. I was kind of upset. I was like, why are they bringing up this old dog? You know, because Edge, to me, has moved past this.
Yeah, Edge has moved past it, but I do want to see them go ahead again. But I want to see Edge going in the title run.
I think Edge is the only one that's going after the title because he keep putting emphasis that he was not pinned.
Because maybe this Foley match will be over. But he's been pinned numerous times by Cena already.
Doesn't matter. Edge talked about how he wasn't pinned, and Triple H, he still has the claim to the title. He says that his WrestleMania was tarnished because it was called by a third-rate ECW announcer, but despite that, he stole the show. This is when they start taking shots at Joy freaking Styles. Mick Foley came out and said Edge did not forget about the match. He said at WrestleMania, he was focused, more prepared, and more hardcore, and he was involved in one of the greatest hardcore match of his career or even history. He said if he did go wrong, he did not realize that he would be face-to-face with the toughest SOB in the WWE, and they shook hands, and Foley gave Lita a kiss on the cheek. Pretty much, Foley just gave Edge a rub.
Yeah, and how did he kiss Lita on the cheek? Don't you know where that cheek has been?
Marcus,
the mouth
up.
And every. You don't go near this, Lita. You this, Marcus,
this is what you call grooming Edge to face Cena for the belt.
This is actually, if they play this right, they can have actually Foley and Edge actually team up somehow, and Foley be like his mentor, and Cena be turned heel, and then you have Edge turn to a good guy. And then somehow Lita gets phased out. I don't know what happens with that, but...
Why do you want to phase out Lita?
I just said within my storyline, I just thought of she would probably be phased out.
So, pretty much, he goes over his defining moment where he went through the flaming table. Foley says...
But that was his defining moment.
That's what he said.
No, that wasn't the defining moment.
What was the defining moment?
The picture of Edge shivering after the match, knowing he would never be the same again. Not them going through the table.
Oh, whatever. Foley says he wants to go through that type of hell again. He wants to go through it tonight. Edge said he challenged him after he had a hellacious match. Edge said that Foley was on crack. Edge said next week Foley will cut him. So they made the match for next week. Foley said that he will cut him any way possible with numerous items. For a minute, I thought they were almost setting up a barbed wire match.
Yeah, but also, you failed to miss Edge's great pause. You know, I will take you up, Foley. I was like, oh, wait, this could happen. Because I didn't realize what the main event was, really, at the time.
Well, pretty much, I couldn't bring that up because you had to really see it to really get the true feeling.
And he was like, oh, you're old crack. And, you know.
Stood up on that segment. Can we move on?
Actually, I enjoyed this segment, and I will enjoy next week, Edge and Foley.
Actually, as I'm going through the Raw, when I was watching Raw, I was not really happy. But I guess as I go over the notes, it wasn't as bad as it could have been.
Yeah, it just seemed like it was developmental. It was the NFL draft. So you will see in the future where this goes because it set up ECW, DX, and everything.
So
else.
Now we get a Master-like challenge. First, Masters comes out and says that if Carlito sticks his nose in his business again, then he would not be spitting apples but tea. He then moves on to RVD and challenges him to escape out of the Masters' lock. So pretty much, I guess this means Chris Masters is going to face for the Intercontinental Champion?
Or... not really, somewhat. And because how would he be able to face RVD for the Intercontinental title when Carlito beat him? What do you do with Carlito? That's why I say it has to be a fatal four-way.
So anyway, what happens is they do the Master-lock challenge. Masters has RVD in this thing. Shelton comes out and attacks RVD while he's in a master lock. And surprisingly, Carlito comes in and makes the save. Mikey comes out, announces that they will have a tag match tonight.
Actually, I think it could be a fatal five-way. In which you throw Charlie Haas in there because him and Shelton feud as you go through the notes. Are you going to continue?
Nope. Oh, I'm sorry. I got caught up. So we're getting to the match. It's Chris Masters and Shelton Benjamin versus RVD and Carlito. During the break...
How is RVD and Carlito working together?
I don't know. During the break, Masters power slam RVD and they cut backstage and show McMahon making out with Candice again.
Why?
The Spirit Squad members send a note out to Joey Styles saying that they wanted to see him in the back. Shelton kicked Carlito. RVD came to the top and kicked Shelton. Masters threw RVD out the ring. Carlito escaped the Gorilla Press Slam. And then Shelton grabbed the chair, but he was stopped by Haas. Carlito and RVD wins the match via a roll-up pin.
Yeah, and they start the feud with Shelton and Haas, which seemed like that could go somewhere. But I believe to really set this feud off is to have a ladder match on Raw with RVD, Shelton for Carlito, and Masters for the Intercontinental title, and have Charlie Haas screw Shelton out of winning that ladder match.
Well, somebody
really cost the title.
I really think somebody else has to have the IC championship. I don't think
it will be going eventually.
It can't be on RVD.
It will be going probably the next pay per view.
It was a very good match once again. It's establishing
it wasn't that good,
but it's establishing the mid cards again.
It moved along.
All right, so now we're backstage. As we said, that they sent a note out to Joey Styles. So they said he is there because he has no spirit, and Kenny is about to become the youngest champion. If he doesn't get spirit, they will inform Vince to make Joey dress as a cheerleader next week. Mm. They make him say that the new champion is Kenny over and over. After showing the trailer for Kang's movie, Joey Styles comes back out, and King mocks him and said if he was an ECW, he wouldn't be working with a hack like him. That's what So this is where it starts. Jerry says, show him some more spirits. Joey pushes him and then slaps the King. Jerry pushes him by the face down on the ground. Joey runs to the back. King apologizes to Joey and tells him to come back out to call the match and act like nothing happened. Joey comes back out, says that that the king wants me to act like nothing happened. He says that he's going to show why he's the unscripted announcer of ECW. He said that WWE caught him because they fired Jim Ross. He said from week one, he got a lecture about the difference between sports entertainment and wrestling. He says he was told to ignore the moves and the holes and to tell stories, and that is disrespectful. And he said because it's the because it's disrespectful to the wrestling. Yes. He said the best part, he was pulled from WrestleMania, and the reason was because he didn't sound like JR. He said he got bumped from Backlash, and he used to call pay-per-views by himself. And he is sick of sports entertainment, semen, God, and Vince's ego, and he is sick of these fans that buy into this crap. He said he never wanted the job and never needed a job, and he quit. He says they brought Joey out from the gutter. That's what the king says, that they brought Joey out from the gutter, and he just wants to be in a bingo hall. Pretty much, it just the question that I asked last week, would Joey Styles be calling ECW, was answered that night.
Yes, and this was one of the best promos in a while. It's the second best promo in a while after JBL, because this was nice. By the way, keynote, he did write this and he did clear this.
Why did you say that? He just said in his promo it was unscripted. Why you got to tell the people that? You didn't have to tell people that.
You know he did. You don't want to get a creative team any credit. I mean, they suck. Because Joey Styles wrote his own promo. So let him have his own promo, okay? And I feel this sets up the ECW segment well. And where was the coach of all night? We had no commentary tonight.
Thank God it wasn't coach. They had Ty Grisham.
Who did a better job than the coach?
Ty Grisham did actually an excellent job. I don't understand why they had to go out and find Joey Styles. Ty Grisham.
Yeah, I don't like Ty Grisham.
You don't like Ty Grisham.
I just don't like Ty Grisham.
So yeah. Anyway.
I take him over the coach.
We move on to
the main event. It was a good night for the coach.
We move on to the main event.
Wait a minute. Can I just say that was the best segment of the night?
Okay, good.
That segment was great.
When the announcer is the star, I can't really deal with that in my life.
What? Come on. That was more main event than your John Cena.
I'm sorry. It's not time for the main event.
No.
Main event, John Cena versus Kenny for the championship with the special guest referee, Triple H. Tend to deliver a standing vertical suplex. He catches Kenny from the top rope, and he's going to deliver the FU until Triple H punches him. Kenny tosses Cena out to the Spirit Squad. They jump him. Kenny lands elbows, neck breakers, a DDT, but Triple H refuses to count fast. Kenny pushed Triple H, and he challenged the Spirit Squad and then walked out. Spirit Squad jumps Cena, and Triple H walks out, and Shawn is walking from the back. They stare at each other for a while. Kenny lands his big leg drop. Sean jumps in the ring, counts, but only gets a
two count.
Eventually, Shawn Michaels super kicks Kenny. They fight off the Spirit Squad. Kenny receives the FU, and John Cena wins the match. And pretty much, once again, we're teasing more DX.
They are teasing, and eventually, when it happens, the whole building is going to explode.
Because when they were staring at each other, it was...
Let's walk back down together and clean house of Cena and the Spirit Squad. But when Shawn Michaels came out, I was really praying for a super kick to Cena when he was going for the FU to Kenny. I know that would be justice or anything to have Kenny be champion. But the Spirit Squad is smart. They would have made all five of them referees or something.
So once again, that was Raw. You have some more stuff to add?
No, you can go.
After going over Raw again, it wasn't as bad as I thought it was. I just think watching it, I was expecting so much more, and I think I was a lot harder on it because I didn't see Backlash, and I expected Backlash to be crap, and according to reviews, Backlash was crap, but after seeing Backlash, what direction they were going with Raw.
They're going to an extreme direction with ECW and DX come back. They're going to the old days, it seemed like.
As they were saying in real sports, they're going through real business.
And I like to also say, Joey Styles promo was dead on and saying everything that everybody believed for a long time.
He said what needed to be said.
He said exactly what needed to be said. And it was a promo that got me hyped up for ECW's return to invade.
Well, so right now we're going to take a short break. I'm winded. It's going to be probably a longer break for us, but you guys don't need to know that. We'll be right back with your feedback, with listener feedback.
Bounce.
You know what time it is?
Listener feedback.
No, man. You was supposed to say, what time is it? I was going to say Vader time. You messed it up.
I didn't know you was going to say that.
What time is it? It's not the same. It's time for listening to feedback, people.
You want Ryan to say it for you?
Marty, I tried hard not to bring up the Christian championship thing. I only said it twice this episode. Don't bring up bad things.
Okay.
I just say the Stone Thailand episode had to be one of my favorite episodes because I got to take shots at Christian the whole night long.
And at one point you were a Christian fan.
I still like Christian. I just don't think he deserves gold now. He's made me mad.
It's either the writers or he's effing up.
I don't know. But we're not talking about TNA. I'll save that for the TNA show. Let's get to our email. The first email we received this week is from Ebert. I had a lot of comments about Backlash. Since they showed a lot of it on Raw, I cut down some.
Yes.
JR and King announcing? Wonder what that means.
That means Joey ain't gonna be there.
Masters versus Carlito. Forget this match. The segment afterwards was interesting. Maria had a segment and she said that most people weren't happy about Masters winning. Carlito won, you dits. Also, Lita said that when Edge wins, the Edge and Lita are going to celebrate because she has sex, unlike Maria. Of the two of you, I'm guessing that Maria has had the most sex. Eric? Okay.
Has age.
No, I'll put it this way. Right now, I'm boinking Mickie James.
What?
But she's not in the celebrity, so I'm boinking Maria.
I'm going Maria, too. Lita's been around for a while.
Yeah, she's been
and
around.
And I feel if you're going for career sex, I think Lita has her because of the age. But lately, I think Maria's getting it.
But if this was
because
Lita,
I know personally.
But if this is back in the day, Lita Thong exposing Lita, I might have did Lita.
I would still do Lita, but not before I do Maria.
I'm just doing both. But like I said, I'm taking
because you're a pimp daddy
and
like that.
You know
that.
What? I might even throw Trish for a little spice.
I would. Why would you have both and then Trish? How did you get all this?
Wait a minute. He wants to know who has gotten down the most. Lita. Sorry.
In Lita, career? Are you going career?
I don't know.
Or
I think,
lifetime? Or in a short week span?
I don't know.
Because Lita did have Matt Hardy and Kane.
All right.
If you go by spoiler,
let's go back to the email.
Maria has had Santa.
Mark, we're spending
and
too much,
Mark, look at her feet.
Mark, we're spending too much time.
Okay.
Umaga versus Flair. Flair is beat up again next. Trish versus Mickey. Trish got hurt. Mickey still rocks. Yes. Sheldon, I wear my sunglasses at night, so that means I'm a bad guy versus RVD. Longer match than the others. Here's what I noticed. Expensive sunglasses, silk shirt, tidy whitey wrestling trunks, and Nikes. Why is he wearing wrestling in Nikes?
I did not know.
I give up on Sheldon.
Is he wearing Nikes?
Actually, they were Adidas, I believe.
Oh, Adidas?
Yes.
Well, why is he wearing either a brand boot?
I don't know.
Is he a bad guy?
He's John Cena.
What is he wearing Zabisco shirts and shades?
We're not going to never.
Where is he wearing Conway shades?
We're not going to never finish this show if you
Look,
keep on your
rambles. Look, have you noticed Conway doesn't wear the shades anymore? I think he gave them a shooting.
Marcus, you're reveling.
I know.
Kane versus Big Show. You know it's a bad match when JR is apologizing for what we are watching.
He was.
Again,
he was confused.
Again, we hear the voices. JR was pretty funny trying to explain why we hear the voices. Obviously, he wasn't too fond of this angle.
I don't think nobody's that fond of this angle to hear the voices.
Vince skits. The first one was about walking on water, which was poured out on the floor.
That was
multiplying
funny.
Fish and bread and turning water into wine in a water bottle.
Was that wine or was it blood?
I don't know.
Because the
it was wine, Marcus. The second skit was about breast rape. I let you figure out just how this proves that Vince was God. Vince, Shane versus Sean. Ah, who cares? We rush through this pay-per-view to get Matt Stryker, Eugene skit. Eugene picks a booger, Matt eats it, and gets a stunner. Yes, backlash of Philly sucks poop, which was chanted, by the way, during this skit. Cena, Triple H, Edge. Here's another bad thought. Cena versus RVD at One Night Stand. God, please help us. On to Raw.
Hold on, before he get on that, I wouldn't mind seeing Cena get the ultimate booze in the pool hall. That would be fun. That would be fun. I don't know if you can even have that because somebody might jump over the rail and take him out. Tina's hated, Eric. Okay. He gets death threats.
Mark, we established that already.
He gets death threats apparently on Backlash. He was like, I get death threats.
Now it's time.
I was like, word life?
Now it's time for Walter. I'm sorry, we got a lot of emails to get through.
Okay.
Raw is Spirit Squad. Is that Joy Styles comment? So is JR back or what? I guess we learned the answer to that. Plus, the makeup person needs to be shot. There is no way these people could be that bruised after the terrible pay-per-view that I saw on Sunday.
I agree.
Side. It's Tori Wilson and Maria versus Mickey. A very small victory. I have problem with this match. No, it's not that women can barely wrestle. It's that Mickey was being pinned. She was kicking the ropes, trying hard to put her foot on them. I do have to say that when Mickey beat down Maria on Unlimited, she reminded me of how much I love that girl. I hope she beats down all the divas every time she loses. Mm. Spirit Squad versus Odd Squad. Best sign so far tonight? Poop. Speaking of poop, they cut to Vince and Candace backstage. Goldust didn't even get tagged in this match.
What? I thought he started it off. Did he?
No.
I don't remember.
He was tagged in.
I kind of blacked out in the middle of this match.
Wait. This week in wrestling history is replaying a Vince versus Shawn match from the previous night. By the way, aren't you curious as to why they're showing so much in last night pay-per-view? Because they know no one will buy the replay. Mm-hmm. It sucked that bad. Rob Conway did a promo on Unlimited right before his match with Kane. It sucked. However, I really like the Rob Conway versus Kane match. That's the best way to deal with Kane hearing voices.
Yeah, I mean, you put him with Conway. I mean, it's nothing better to relieve your stress than to take out Rob Conway.
Oh, wow. This is the guy that Jamal faced was Rory Hart. That is the nephew of Bret Hart. Didn't know that.
Oh, well, you just missed the keynote in WWE.
Was really boring, wasn't it? Edge and Foley was okay. Joey Styles messed up and said next week before Edge accepted the challenge. You know he got in trouble for that. The show was pretty buttered until Joey and the King went off on each other.
Yes.
Now we all know that JR is coming back to Raw. But having Joey and the King get into a fight was a pretty good way to move him over to ECW. Here's the bad part. Joey does a promo that he has to be the best Raw promo I heard this year. That includes all the promos that Vince has done. Joey Styles promo was everything I was thinking after watching Backlash and this version of Raw. The King tried to redeem the W, but it was too late. They got served.
This is
off topic, but Burger King has a commercial with bare-chested guys rolling out on the sign that says, "Eat this meat." What type of gay crap is that? Marcus, please explain that to me.
Why do I always have to explain these to these people? It basically means, I don't know. It means eat the burger!
So first of all, if we go talk about Burger King commercials, I'm off the rebel. I'm offended of the construction worker one where Burger King man, the King, almost commits attempted murder on the black man on the construction. He pushes him and then they act like nothing is wrong.
He's a terrorist, Eric, and you know it. And by the way, speaking of this Burger King guy, he should do, also in my opinion, he should do wrestling commercials in which he plays, let's say, Eugene, I don't know, and he does a segment with them. I think that would be better for Burger King and wrestling that week. And I'm also offended when a guy wakes, he's sleeping there, that dude's in his bed. I'm like,
Marcus,
what the?
This is not the Burger King podcast, let's stop.
Okay.
The Indian Raw teased something that would get me interested in Raw again. Triple H, Shawn Michaels, DX versus McMahon. It's coming. All right, thank you.
That will be heavy.
Thank you, Ebert, for the email.
Always entertaining.
All right, now we're moving on to Aaron. Aaron sent us an email before.
Oh my God!
I saw the email start. That was the best Raw in a good long while. I hope others would agree. It was fun to watch considering that we actually did not see Big Show, HBK, Triple H, Trish, or Edge actually wrestle.
Now, can I say something? Good we didn't see Big Show.
They were there, but not in the match. They almost took care of almost every problem. There were more matches against jobbers, a combined minute of Vince talking, teasers, May 19, and Maria Bronco Buster.
Yeah, see?
The two matches I could have done without were the six-man tag where the squad kicked the other team's ass. They could have actually done Show versus four squad members. The other match they should have not have done was the one with Jamal. Rosie would be a
why don't nobody call him Umaga? Why is he only known as Jamal?
Can I just read the damn email?
Go ahead. It's not offensive to his character.
Rosie would be ashamed of the man and his thumb. They are going towards Hobbs versus Benjamin, which should be good. But instead of tag, they should have made it a fatal four-way, seeing that Carlito and RVD should really be friends.
I
thought that with Trish hurt and Maria making kicking some ass, they would give her a weak run at the women's belt, then have a big Trish return in 6 weeks. I could also see Edge beating Foley again and Foley respecting Edge's hardcore spirit enough to invite him to join the revolution that apparently Joy Styles has started, ECW. And way to go, Joy. This made me very, very interested in not just this Raw, but already next week's Raw. Also, if you remember far back ago, before JBL, it was Lawler who was anti-ECW and went and fought Dreamer at ECW event. And what a match that was. I still think Cena will turn heel, come one night stand. You got to love the DXTs with Triple H and HBK staring at each other. Everyone wanted them to charge the ring and destroy the squad, but they didn't. Mm-hmm. And then I personally wanted HBK to super kick Cena just for fun.
Just to do it. He did it to Hogan.
But you got to love the anticipation. On SmackDown, I think they would have Ray cost JBL the U.S. title so that it's not they can focus on the heavyweight belt. But I doubt it. Instead, Ray should win because we don't want a champion with both belts. Plus, Batista's coming back. I didn't see Mark Henry fight because Mabel called during the match to say Henry is weak. And I got a tip that Christian is going to list a former WCW champion to help him get his belt back. The main name is Daniel Arquette.
But the worst champion in history! Or some say the greatest celebrity champion in history.
But in reality, Christian should stop trying to be Stone Cold Steve Austin and just be himself, sarcastic and cocky. A good person to bring in to fight Christian for the belt would be Jeff Hardy as a heel. Something that hasn't been successfully done since the Gangrel was around. They could have a good match, especially with Letters. But instead, when Hardy returns, they will probably have them team up to fight the Dudley because the Dudley needs another excuse not to fight AMW.
Yes.
And then Steiner should break his ankle off and offer it to the God of Pyro so Orton can come back to WWE. And if anyone remembers, Jericho used to refer to Chavo as ex-barber, so that's what they should show Chavo doing in El Paso, my hometown. And it should be Jericho who visits him to come back just so we can see Jericho again. Peace out.
Oh, my God!
Aaron. Thanks, Aaron, for the email.
Go ahead,
Mark.
I got a comment on what did he just say in the last paragraph? F it.
Oh, my God.
No, before that. It was something else.
Chavo Guerrero.
Chavo Guerrero. I forgot all about that until just now. I mean, it's just, I forgot. Where are they going with this Chavo story?
Lamar was in foul trouble.
Kobe. When would Chavo come back into this mix? Okay? What are you doing? And second thing I want to comment, the Jeff Hardy Christian would be an excellent feud to set up due to their past history and ladder match and the ENC versus the Hardy Boys. That would be a great feud. Instead, he's got to go fight his title first.
And Dudleys are probably going to fight. So now, we're moving on to our next email. It's from Manny. He says, what's up, guys? My thoughts on Backlash and Raw. Have you noticed that Masters doesn't look anything like his Titantron video anymore? The wellness program must really have taken a hammer to the masterpiece.
Oh, no.
However, he looks more like a wrestler than just a bodybuilder with a new job. I like how almost every pay-per-view, Carlito throws in a new move to his arsenal. And Carlito winning with the help of magic middle rope. Now, that's cool.
That's the greatest move in all wrestling. If you pull that middle rope, you guarantee victory. I ain't seen nobody escape it.
Again, how many times must this point be put out? Leaders should be banned from speaking on TV.
Of course.
And Armando looked like he was constipated when he was talking on the mic.
Armando, Alejandro, Estrada.
Marcus, could you shut up? Umaga running into the ring post was hilarious, but what I can't believe is that Ric Flair jobbed to Umaga, especially to the Mighty Thumb Blue. I have to say, worst finisher since Luger's running elbow.
That's two times he's mentioned Luger's running elbow. Please leave the elbow rest in peace.
Shame about the match ending between Trish and Mickey, but you can't complain as Trish had dislocated her shoulder. How religiously charged and funny and disrespectful at the same time was that Vince and Shane segment. The match itself wasn't too bad. I would have liked to see HBK jump off the ladder onto Shane and Vince, but oh well. But the Gangster Spirit Squad saved the day for Team McMahon. I liked how no one decided to come out to help HBK or even the pyrotechnics guy.
Well, nobody should have had to come out if God didn't turn his back on HBK.
Oh, God, Marcus. R.E.D. versus Shelton was a damn good match and it had lots of great spots. How the hell did John Cena retain? I was hoping for a title change, but in my opinion, this has to be one of the best John Cena matches, period. And he did go top rope and land a splash. Raw, the Gangster Spirit Squad as general managers. Wow, it's been a long time since WWE mentioned the words general manager.
Agreed.
Even Eric Bischoff got it mentioned. I thought it was funny how Eugene got hit by some knowledge. Well, that's a nice way to say it.
Yes, that is a nice way. More clever than your notes. Maybe I should fire you and bring in Manny to write the notes.
How can you fire me when I'm the producer, buddy?
I'm co-producing.
You don't produce shit. Job is the Frapper Map, and you can't even do that.
We'll do it at the end of the show.
Yes, exactly. I was watching Joey Styles snap, and I was thinking, when is this man going to pull out a shotgun? He looked like he was going to K May 19th raid. Styles must have been making way for JR make it back to full time. And you got to be thanking the fans in London for upsetting the coach so much last week. He realized that possibly don't need a three-man booth. Mick Foley really is a turd. That just won't go away. Did I really hear Foley call Edge the toughest SOB in WWE? That really was the cue for Austin to make a surprise appearance. I wonder if the stare down between Trips and HBK will lead to anything. Hopefully, fooling John Cena this week, making him think HBK is his friend, and the next week, on weeks after the bam, Cena gets nailed with sweet chin music. Holy just God. Like when he nailed Hogan with it last summer, which caught everyone off guard. I wonder when the announcement of the draft will take place, as things really need to be shaken up again. Peace, Manny. I'll be glad when the draft get announced, but I'm afraid that they might not be announcing this damn draft.
It might go another year of Raw with the lineup there. Their savage lineup that they
and
have.
And it's not savage because of you, Maka.
Yes, it is. And something else I want to comment on. Damn it, it's gone. Anyway, we go to the next thing.
All right, the next
email. I'm sorry.
The next email we're getting is from Floyd. Well, I don't want to say I told you so, but my only question is, who is Cena defending his title against next WrestleMania?
No! We can't have that!
If you listen to the crowd in Backlash, you couldn't help but notice the boos are getting softer. I think that people actually realize that Cena is the man. No. I can say that the belt will probably lower the statue of Trips. Trips is much better off without the belt. What is the deal with the DX chops? You have to give Cena credit because he actually did a counter in the STFU. By the way, RVD Benjamin match was a classic. The match was the perfect length. I just wanted to see a double count out DQ ending because I didn't want to see either guy lose his holdings. Peace, Floyd. Your report sounded great. Keep up the good work. I'm sending this email to another wrestling podcast. Can you send somebody to get it for me? Great line.
Great line.
I love taking shots at Christian. And once again, yes, I did repost last show because it sounded like we had a sheet over our mouth.
No, it sounded like we were talking with our mouths over here like blah, 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 blah. And hopefully they don't do anything crazy with Cena like that, that he actually holds it until WrestleMania. I mean, how hysterical will the fans get? And he wasn't, oh, Floyd, by the way, let me slow it down. And that's more Laker game banter from Eric.
Sorry.
Anyway, damn, what is wrong with me?
You're talking about Floyd.
Oh, Floyd, at Backlash, Cena didn't get booed as much for one reason. They were in Kentucky. And no, I'm not bashing the people in Kentucky. They're just not a major market like Chicago, New York, L.A., or Texas. And there's more.
I think that's poop, Marcus.
I just feel that in major markets, he gets slammed down. But in Kentucky, he'll probably get cheers.
Well, anyway, I was actually shocked not to receive one email. I was pretty sure that Omar was going to send us an email, especially with Joey Styles, you know, because you know he's the biggest Joey Styles guy I know. So, Omar, I expect the email from you by Saturday's show.
What? Who are you to demand emails now?
I need
you
to know,
don't demand emails from the listeners.
I need to know what the
big... How you know this man wasn't busy?
He's the biggest Joy Styles follower I know. I need to know what he feels about the old snap.
You know what he feels. Oh, snap. She got it right. And the funniest thing about the King Hill argument, the people in the background, oh, no, he didn't. They instigated to this fight. They orchestrated the function and the distinction of the King and Lawler. And also, I like to say,
Marcus,
have they finally just went to the two-man booth?
I don't know, Marcus, but you know what? I'm tired.
I'm tired, too.
I'm ready to watch the Lakers
before
game.
Before we end this, we got to give out the information.
I'm going to do that. I'm ready to watch the Lakers game and eat enchiladas.
Yes!
The website is thesharpshooters.blogspot.com.
Mm.
Our email address is thesharpshooters@gmail.com. Mm. Leave a voicemail even via Skype with the username thesharpshooters or call the number 310-928-6889. Remember, the sharpshooter is not T-H-E, but D-A. Also, Marcus, the frapper map, please give the respect to the person that joined.
Bring up the site. It was Joe in the UK.
Thank you.
No, Joe. But we got, I don't know where in the UK. It could be any Joe.
Marcus, Joe in the United Kingdom. Joe, we will
I
have
I think
more.
It was Manchester.
Next episode, we will have more.
We apologize.
Apologize. The only part of the show that you have to reduce, and you can't do it.
I just don't write it down because I remember that. But I'm sorry. I will... You know, go over.
He's
please
lying.
Join the Fabric Map, and I will say the show now. And if you have any problem with me not saying your name right, send it to me. Hello, I can take it like a man. I'm just like Joey Styles.
Anyway, I'm Eric.
No way, I'm not just like Joey Styles. I'm like it's the grand finale.
I'm Eric.
What? I just had a perfect right there.
I don't know. Well, anyway, we're
I'm Marcus the Grand Finale.
And we're the Sharpshooters. We'll see you guys for episode 67, the odd episode, as Marcus finally pointed out to me that each episode is odd.
Until we, like, switch up or something. It's going to be a day in which we will screw it up. It's not going to be odd. Watch.
When do we go on vacation?
Eventually, we will.
Anyway, that's not
the point. When we all start getting better.
Okay. So anyway, we're going to take our break. We'll see you guys next episode. I'm out. Yeah.
If this episode
you messed up my bow down to the king.
So, but wait, before we do this, if this episode is stolen, will we have to sit right on again at this time? No. Or will we just put out part two again?
I told you I'm falling out for Lucy.
Okay.
Anyway, see you guys next episode. We out.